I thank God for the victory, amen. I thank God for the victory, amen, that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a lot of times we allow situations and circumstances to make us feel like we're victims instead of making us feel like we are the victors. And that's what we are. We are the victors because of what Christ did on that cross that day, whether you believe it or whether you don't. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, about we have the victory because of the new life that we have in Christ. It's the new life. See, this ain't got nothing to do with the old life. Your old life can't do nothing for you. The old life is supposed to be dead. The old life is supposed to be buried. So if we turn our Bibles to the book of Colossians, Colossians 2. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Colossians, Colossians 2. Oh, eternal Father and our God, I just bless you tonight, dear God. I just thank you for this opportunity to speak into the lives of your children. God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, oh God, that they may see all of you and none of me. God, that they may hear all of you and none of me, oh God. Father, I pray through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit that you will bring conviction. God, that you will shake this place up, oh God. That your presence and your word will go forth with power, oh God. Because you said your word shall not return to you void, that it shall accomplish the very thing that you have sent it out to do. Amen? Amen. I just want to read, and then we'll allow the Lord just to minister to our hearts through this word. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. Amen? I'm going to start in verse 6, Colossians 2, verse 6 through 15. And it says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conforming to him, having the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil and makes yourself captives by the so-called philosophy and intellectualism and the vain deceit, the idle fantasies, the plain nonsense, following human traditions, men's ideas of material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions, follow the rudimentary and the elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. For in him, the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full and have coming to the fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority and every angelic principality and power. In him you were circumcised, and with the circumcision not made with hands, but a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt and carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism, in which you were also raised with him to a new life. Somebody say new life. Through your faith in the working of God as displayed when he raised him from the dead. And you were dead in trespasses and in uncircumcision of the flesh, your sensuality, your sinful and carnal nature. God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven all your transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting, the note, the bond, the legal decrees, and the demands which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note, with its regulation, its decrees, and demands, was set aside and cleared completely out of the way by nailing it to his cross. God disarmed the principalities and powers that raised against us, and made a bold display, a public example of them and triumphing over them in him, in it, the cross. Amen? Triumphing over it. That's what the victory is all about. It's triumph in Christ. Amen? But the Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Colossae because the heretics were there at the time and they were trying to confuse the people of God the same way this world is trying to confuse us. That's why you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Not just pretend, all right? Put on your Christian wear that you wear, you know what I mean, your Christian T-shirt, your Christian jeans, your Christian smile, your little hallelujah and praise the Lord, all right? Because that's just the superficial stuff. But what's really going on inside? Do you really have the victory? Amen? Because this whole thing and the thing about your life is that you have to understand that if you're going to walk with Jesus, then he has to have preeminence in your life. Preeminence. What are you talking about, Pastor Don? Preeminence. Proteo, which means to be first in rank or influence. Who is first in rank or influence in your life? See, that's the things that we have to understand. If we're going to walk with God and have victory in this new life, then Jesus has to be the one that's going to influence our life. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because a shepherd leads the sheep. The sheep don't lead the shepherd. And another thing on the sidebar, okay, the sheep can't even choose the shepherd. The sheep can't even choose the sheep dog, let alone choose the shepherd. So that's what we have to understand, that Jesus has to have preeminence in my life. Also, protos means foremost, in time, in place, in order, in importance, before and at the beginning of everything that you do, of every action that you have, every thought that comes in your head. Does Jesus have first place? Or is he foremost in your time? How do you spend your time? And the reason why a lot of people ain't got no victory is because of the place that you're spending your time or how you spend your time. You spend more time on Facebooks and texting than you do in the Word or in prayer. And then you wonder why I ain't got no victory, why I feel so empty. Because there's a place in you that only God can fill. And if you don't allow him to fill it, the enemy's going to fill it with stuff that is contrary to the will of God for your life and everything else. But in this, listen to this in this sixth verse. Listen to a verse, I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, therefore, just as you accepted the teaching that presents Jesus as both Messiah and Lord, so continue to maintain this relationship as him. All right? Then it goes on to say the recipients have been taught that Jesus is Messiah, the one divinely anointed to secure man's salvation, and Lord, the divine person to whom man submits in obedience. See, when you that day you said yes to Jesus Christ, that day you said yes to that cross, you accepted something. Okay? You became a recipient, which means that somebody gave you something. All right? If you go to college for 4 years or whatever you do, all right, you accept the diploma that they give you. But also you become a recipient of everything that diploma says. Amen? And because you accepted Christ in your life, and because you died with him, and because you buried with him, you also rose with him. You're a recipient of a new life. That's why you shouldn't walk in the old ways. That's why you shouldn't walk with your old buddies. That's why you shouldn't be going to places that you used to traffic, unless you got enough Holy Ghost in you to bring somebody else out. That's what it's all about, that we have the victory because of the new life in Christ that's in me. That's why the Bible says if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. That old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. It doesn't say that if anybody goes to church. Because you got a lot of people going to church and when you talk to them and see them, you think they know nothing about Jesus. But we have the victory. And that's what you have to understand. We have the victory. You have the victory over your emotions. You have the victory over your mind. You got the victory over your mouth. That's why anything should not come out of your mouth. And it's time for you to step into the victory. It's time to stop playing church. And it says that here, that because I am a recipient, that I understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the one divinely anointed to secure my salvation. And because of that, he is the divine person to whom I submit to. The reason why people can't submit to leadership in this church is because you ain't truly submitted to Jesus Christ. That's why you can't submit. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what type of degrees you got. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how black you are, how white you are, how skinny you are, how fat you are. It's all about a submission thing. And it's a submission to the Lord. That's where the victory is. That's where the victory is, in my submission. Well, because it said that Jesus was submitted in obedience, even to obedience to death on the cross. What are you willing to die for? And when we were singing that song about surrender, that I so much wanted to get up there and say something, but I said, Lord, I'll just wait. I'll just wait till the time. I'll just wait my time. Because are you truly surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, because when you're surrendered to Jesus, the victory is there. Why? Because he won the victory. It said that he nailed it all to the cross. Everything that was against you, everything that was coming against you, anything that will ever come against you, guess what? You already got the victory. I already got it. All you got to do is step into it. See, but you're waiting for somebody, you're waiting for me or one of the pastors to lay hands on you to get victory. Okay? You can get victory over your sexuality. The Bible says, how can a young man or woman cleanse his way? By heeding to the word of God. That's the victory. You hear what the voice of God says about your sexuality. The victory comes by heeding to what that word says. What does the word of God say for your life? I get tired of hearing people are struggling. I fell. No, you didn't fall. You just didn't step into the victory of the word. You didn't step into the victory of the word. Because the Bible talks about just as he is pure, we are purifying ourselves. See, you ain't got a vision of the cross. You haven't wrapped yourself around what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's why there is no victory. See, you got to embrace that cross. You got to let the blood fall down on you. You got to say, Lord, here it is. Bang. Nail that. Lord, here it is. Bang. Okay? Now, if both hands are nailed up, guess what? You're going to have to ask somebody, give me a little help with the feet, all right? See, we think we could do this thing by ourselves, but we can't. Okay, remember, I'm a recipient. I receive something that is so powerful that no sin, no devil, this world, or nothing else can take away from me. And that's the way you have to do it. That's the way you have to look at it. See, the heretics denied Jesus' atoning death, denied Jesus' death and his lordship. See, a lot of you want Jesus as Savior, but you don't want him as Lord. Long as I'm saved and going to heaven, I'm cool. But how about all the magazines and stuff that you ain't supposed to be looking at? That's the lordship of Jesus Christ. How about them secret phone numbers that nobody knows about? How about behind them private doors where nobody can see you? Is the lordship of Jesus Christ still giving you victory? Is God so strong in your life? It don't matter how good she looks, how good he looks, how sweet she smells or he smells, or how pretty they are. Am I still going to keep myself? Am I still going to keep myself in the place? Let them hate me. I got the victory. Because even without you, I still got the victory. See, the problem of it is we think that you need somebody else to complete your life without understanding the day he went to the cross, your life became complete. Your life became complete the day that Jesus went to the cross. See, so Paul wrote to the Colossians to urge them to keep him just as they were initially taught as Messiah and Lord. See, that's the whole thing about the gospel. It's the way that it's being taught. He is not just your Savior. He is also my Lord. And that's what Paul was urging the church to do. All right? Because like I said, they were to continue to look to him for salvation and continue in submission to his authority. See, we have to be submitted to the authority of God. And where we're going to find that submission is through the word of God. Amen? Through prayer, through the church of God, through the leadership of God. That's where you find submission. That's where you find your submission. Look at yourself. Ask yourself. I told you, I ain't the sin police. You got to police your own life same way I got to police mine. What areas in your life that you know I am not fully submitted to God, or I am not fully submitted to this leadership? And then you wonder why there is no victory? See, the problem with the body of Christ now, everybody got a gift. So everybody think you all that because you got a gift. But my Bible says that Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives. If your singing ain't delivering nobody, guess what? It's just a gift and no anointing. Why? Because you ain't operating in the new life. That's that old life trying to show off. Even with preaching, even with teaching and the way it goes. Where's the anointing on your life of the new life? Because it talks about Jesus as being the anointed one and that we got the same thing. It says you are complete in him. You are filled by him. Believers are to be filled by Jesus with all the spiritual blessings they need, and they will be complete, lacking nothing. See, this circumcision thing ain't got nothing to do with your physicality. It has everything to do with your spiritual life. But so we're so worried about how pretty I look, how fly I look. Do I got the right clothes on, or don't I have the right clothes on? And you forget about all the spiritual giftings that you have with Christ. Because I can be up here with T-shirts and jeans on and still rock the house. Why? Because it ain't about the clothes. It's about the anointing, amen? It's about the gift. It's about the spiritual stuff that you have in Jesus Christ. It said with all the spiritual blessings that they need. And they are complete, lacking nothing. See, the only reason why you feel like you're lacking, because you're not stepping into the place. You're not stepping into the victory that God gave you that day on the cross. And if in your sufficiency of Christ, you are to look to other believers for help. That's what I was saying earlier. You can't do this by yourself. There is no man, no woman that's in here that's an island. That's why it's called the body of Christ and not the finger of Christ. All right? It's called the body of Christ. And you have to learn to interact with everybody. Yeah, they don't look like you. Yeah, they don't talk like you. Some of them don't even smell like you. But they're still part of the body of Christ. And it's not always the people that are up front. It's not always the pastors. It's not always the praise and worship team. It's not always the people you can see. Because there's a lot of vital organs in your body that you cannot even see, but they're keeping you alive, right? So there's a lot of vital people that you don't see that's going to keep your spirit alive if you could just get next to them. If you just put down that bad attitude. Because, see, that's the things we need to get victory over, our attitudes. Well, I just don't like that. Nobody asked you if you liked it. This ain't about I like and don't like. This is about what this word says. Walking in victory every day of your life. This ain't about you. It's about him and what he did for you. And the body of Christ is forgetting. We didn't have nothing to bargain with. So how are we going to be so proud? How are we going to be so boastful? When you didn't have nothing in the first place. Josh read that thing. It was all about love. He said God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, that Christ went to the cross for you. You didn't even have your mind on Jesus, but he had his mind on you. He had his mind on you long before you could even think about Jesus. Why? Because the flesh was screaming too loud. It feels too good, it tastes too good, and whatever good you want to put on it. But now that you are in Christ, now that you belong to him, the five blessings that are a result of being filled with Christ, in verse 11, it talks about in him, you are also circumcised with the circumcision, not made with hands, but in the spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off. Strip it off. See, there's certain things you have to see in your life. If you ain't man or woman enough to do nothing about it, say, brother or sister, strip this off me, please. Strip this stuff off me. Strip this perverted mind off me. Help me, please. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about us helping each other. But you have to understand that Jesus already stripped this off of the body of flesh, the whole corrupt, carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Before you came to Jesus, all right, your whole corrupt, carnal nature with its passions and its lusts. But the Bible says in Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ, this ain't going to be, those who know that I am in Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions, with its desires. That means you got work to do. Jesus already did it. We just got to follow his example. Strip it off, whatever it may be. Strip it off. Why? Because you got the victory. You got the power to strip it off. Stop saying, I can't. When the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So why does I can't keep coming out of your mouth? When you're in Christ, you can do all things. You might not like it. It might not feel good, but you can do it. And that's what it's all about, having the victory and understanding the victory. It's already done. All we got to do is step into it. It's already done. It's a done deal. Being raised from the old life, verse 12. Thus you were uncircumcised when you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism, which you were also raised in him to the new life. But the problem of it is with a lot of people, you know what? You're still too much alive. I know the Bible says that we were buried with him, but where's the evidence of the burial of your life? See, because there ain't no burial if you're still alive. Burials only come when people die. They only come when people die. You don't see them putting no live people in the ground. Live burials or avalanches, mudslides, them 50-foot waves in Hawaii, that's living burials, okay? He ain't talking about that. He's talking about being dead. Being dead. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live. But Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh. Please understand something. Your spirit gets saved, but you still got to manage this body. You got to manage everything you look at. You got to manage everything you hear. You got to manage everything you say. That's why Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, because he didn't get transported somewhere else. The life I now live in this flesh, I live for him who loved me and gave his life for me. Who are you living for? Who are you living for? Because if you want true victory in your life, then you're going to have to stop living for yourself and stop living for Christ. Because your flesh ain't going to be able to do it. It wasn't designed to do it. It's your spirit. The victory is running your spirit first before it's won anywhere else. You have to see yourself as a spiritual warrior. How do you see yourself? The Bible says that the man thinketh in his heart, so he is. What do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself when you see yourself? What do you think of yourself when you hear yourself? What are you thinking about as far as being a part of the body of Christ, part of being Kingsfire International? What do you see? Do you see yourself as a spiritual giant? Or I ain't there yet. The old, I don't want to get to the place thing. You know what I mean? All them Christians that talk about I ain't there yet. The only reason why you ain't there is because you don't want to go there. Because his cross is too powerful. His spirit's too powerful. Romans 8:11 said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives in you. Now, if God can raise a dead man with no heart, no pulse, and you alive, why can't he do nothing with you? It's because you have not died to the will, your will, and surrendered everything to his will. Everything to his will. This is an all or out nothing. Verse 13 talks about the new life. And you who were dead in trespasses and uncircumcised of the flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature. You know what I like about the Amplified? It doesn't dance around, okay? It slaps you right in the face. You know exactly what he's talking about. Your sensuality, yeah. You know exactly what he's talking about, okay? Your sinful carnal nature, that low nature that was below God, low the bar, all right? That's what he's talking about right there. God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven all our transgressions, everything. God forgave it all. It's all or nothing with God. But see, we still like to hold on because, yeah, I know God forgave me of that, but I know he is not going to forgive me of this. What a slap in the face to God. What a slap in the face to God when we do that. Because all it is, it's about the new life. It's about the victory in the new life in him, not in us, in him. That's why Paul said it's in him I live and move and have my being. Everything is in Christ, the preeminence one, the one I think about when I first get up in the morning, the one I walk about when I go to my job, the one I ride and listen to when I'm in my car, the one I'm praising when I'm walking through the mall, the one when I walk out in the woods, I can hear his voice. the preeminent one in our life. But see, we're so preoccupied with everything else. We're so preoccupied with being the next wonder. Everybody look at me. Once again, it ain't about you. It's about him. It's about his cross. It's about death, burial, then the new life comes. But see, we don't want to die, and we don't want to be buried. But that's what it's all about. The removal of the curse, verse 14. Having canceled and blotted out, wiping away the handwriting of the note. Okay? The note. How many want your debts canceled? The note you got. All right? Same difference. The note that was against you because of the law. All right? With its decrees and its demands, which was in force, stood against us and was hostile to us. This note, with its regulations and its decrees and its demand, he set aside and cleared completely out the way by nailing it to his cross. It's gone. Generational curses, all that stuff, it's gone. But if you don't step into the victory, guess what? They're going to hang around. They're going to hang around because we don't step into the victory in him. You don't step into the new life. Just because your father was an alcoholic doesn't mean you got to be an alcoholic. Just because your father was a drug addict doesn't mean you have to be a drug addict. And you can go down, down, down the line, and whatever somebody else was has nothing to do with you, with your relationship with Christ, unless you allow it to be. Unless you buy that lie, then it's going to be a part of your life. But when you step up and say, no, I got the victory because of that cross. And pray for those who went before you. Because they didn't have the understanding. Many people have bought the lie and have trained the lie. Why? Because they didn't know it was a lie. But we know the truth. We know the truth. That's why he said, have you been taught what you've been taught as him being Messiah? What you've been taught about him being Lord? He is Lord over everything. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In the heavens and in the earth, everything has to bow to Jesus. Everything. Your spirit, everything has to bow to Jesus. The fifth thing is the conquering of Satan and his demonic force. Verse 15. God disarmed the principalities and the powers that were raised against us and made a bold display and public example of them and triumphing over them in him, in Christ, and in the cross. That's what God did. He says, okay, I know what your struggle is. I know what you were going through. I know about the addictions. I know about this. I know how your mind wanders. I know how everything goes on in your life. But guess what? When you look to the cross of my son, when you look to the cross of my son, I don't care about Satan. I don't care about them demons. I don't care them hellhounds or anything else. You got the victory. Why? Because I triumph over them. I made a public display. See, it was not only the love of God, the justice of God was poured out on that cross all the time as well, too. The justice of God that freed us, that we can have victory in him. I can have a new life in Christ. That's what this is all about. I got the victory. Not a victim. I'm not going to think like a victim. Yeah, you're going to go through situations. Yeah, you're going to go through circumstances. But you need to shake yourself and say, I'm the victor. Listen, my brother is down in Manhattan dying right now. Okay? And I don't want you to feel sorry for me. All right? This ain't a plea to everybody, oh, poor Pastor Don. Okay? Because death and life is part of who we are. But I thank God. Because we were being prepared through Augustine, through his buddy, the other guy. When he said, listen, yeah, it hurt, because it hurt me. I cried in my wife's arms. I cried in Kiana's arms. Cried by myself. That was last Saturday, and I couldn't get here, okay, because I didn't get back until almost 7 o'clock anyway when Vaughn called me. But God is always preparing us. And I heard him say, yes, it hit me, and it shook me, but I had to shake myself. And I had to grab on to the victory that I got in Christ Jesus. And it's no different for me. Because, see, we had this whole week of people debating, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Knowing that he is vitally sick. And everything they're doing is making him worse. And my mother, okay? Any mother that carried a child, that spiritual connection with, I don't care. They don't want to let go. But it was the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God that allowed me to minister even to my own mother, to let her know yesterday, you got to let him go. And even though she didn't want to do it, she had enough confidence in me. And, go ahead, boy. You do it. And I said that to say this, because it's all about the victory, okay? And I know he knew the Lord. And let me tell you something else. Me and my sister last week, because my niece was down there with us and everything, and she's all, you know, she don't know the Lord. And we've been trying and trying anyway. But anyway, my sister, Sonia, she was here before, and she was talking about let him go. That was last Saturday. Nobody wanted to hear her. Let him go because he got his leg amputated a year ago or whatever. And she said, because when the next time you see him, he's going to have two legs. He's going to be walking. Now, this friend of ours that didn't have a clue of what was going on, who lives in Kingston, my sister works in Walmart and Fishkill. She was talking to this lady, heard this lady's voice, went over to her, and she started telling her about my brother. The lady started crying. And my sister said, no. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm not crying tears of sorrow. She said, I'm crying tears of joy. She said, I get up early in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, I was in my backyard. I heard a rustling. I turned around. I seen your brother with two legs. Now, you call it what you want to call it. You call it what you want to call it. But see, if you don't get the victory in your spirit, because you're going to have people going to lose. We're going to lose people in this war. Because remember, this is a war. It said, Paul said, I fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And there's going to come a time when you're going to have to strengthen yourself. And all your knowledge, all your friends, and everything else ain't going to do it for you. It ain't going to do it. And I thank God for the victory that I have in Christ Jesus because of that cross. Because of that cross. That's why I can walk. That's why I can still smile. Yeah, do I have to lay on the rest and everything? Yes, I do. But we're going to celebrate God because I know he knew Jesus. All right? I knew he knew Jesus. He surrendered his life to God. And that's what it's all about. It's about this new life. This new life takes away all the old life, takes away all everything that goes on. That doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the suffering. But guess what? It takes away all that emotional stuff that makes you fall apart. It takes away all of that stuff. For them nurses to look at us and doctors to look at us and tell us this and tell us that. I said, listen, I know my brother. I told that lady yesterday, I know my brother. I said, I know he wouldn't want to be on that machine. I know I want, you know, all of that. And I said, I know that this has some suffering and pain to it, even though you medicating him. I said, cut him loose and let him go to Jesus. I said, we believe. See, you got to be bold in your spirit to tell people to their faith. Because she said, well, I believe in science. But I respect your religion. I said, I don't care about all that. We believe in Jesus, and I know once you cut him loose, I know where he's going to be. See, that's the victory. You have to be assured of that, and that's what Paul was telling the church. Be assured who you are in Jesus Christ. In him you have the victory. Circumcision of the spirit with the ruling power of the believer's flesh or the sinful nature is broken and removed by Christ. When that circumcision comes over your life, over your spirit, it's all broken off you. That's what Jesus did. He broke it off you. The only reason why you continue to go in it is because you don't see yourself free. Because 1 John 3:8 says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil and takes his character from the devil. Now, we were talking before. Earlier in verse 10, but verse 9, it talks about, for in him the fullness of God, the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Okay? Verse 10 says, and you are in him, made full, and having come to the fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? And not just Jesus bodily, because we are in Christ. The way God looks at us, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it says right here, it's in you too. It is in you too. Couldn't nobody defeat Jesus? The devil couldn't defeat Jesus. Remember in the wilderness? Huh? He couldn't defeat Jesus. That's why them demons didn't mess with Jesus. That's why they kept on saying, oh, son of David, did you come to torment us too? Because they heard what happened out there in the wilderness, and they wasn't going to mess with Jesus. And they should hear the same thing about you, so they won't mess with you. The only reason why them demons keep messing with you, because you won't take your authority. And please make sure you're in the faith, okay? Because the seven sons of Sceva who thought they was in the faith and went messing around with them demons and got their tails tore up, all right? Make sure you know who you are before you step out and start opening your mouth about stuff that you don't have the faith to back it up. Amen? All right? I want you to be powerful, but Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, okay? So if they got you outgunned, you need to get on the phone and call somebody, all right? Or you're going to get the same treatment them seven sons of Sceva got. But anyway, it talks about that he who commits, who practices evil doing is of the devil and takes his character from the devil, who has sinned, violated divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, made visible, was to undo, to destroy, to loosen, and to dissolve the works of the devil and what he has done. See, that's how bad Jesus is. And that's how bad you are if you walk in his character and walk in his way. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they was in the midst of the fire, when Jesus showed up, guess what happened? What will usually happen in fire didn't happen. Because that is the victory. When Jesus shows up in the midst of your fire, whatever was supposed to happen to you ain't supposed to happen to you. That's what he did. He was manifested in the flesh for that reason. That's why you should never say anything about the devil. Give him credit. Yes, he's going to attack you. Yes, he's going to do everything, but guess what? You got the power. He don't. Jesus said all power when he came up out of that grave. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Not just some power, all power. This is an all-inclusive thing, and you got to get in it. 1 John 4:9, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, the spiritual victory. You got it. Where's the victory? Where's the victory in your life, every day of your life? Not just when you come to church and we praise and worship and you're hanging around the saints. How about when nobody's around? Do you still have the same victory? Is there enough inside of you that says, I can fight this one by myself? Is there enough in you? Because it says, whatever is born of God, the new birth. He ain't talking about that other stuff. He's talking about the new birth that only God can do. Verse 5 says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? See, there ain't no victory if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he walks in all power and he walks in all authority. And because I'm in him and he's in me, that I walk in all authority and I walk in all power no matter what I face on a day-to-day basis, even when I'm crying, even when I'm hurting, even when I stay up sometimes in the middle of the night, I still got the power. Because sometimes we do get in the flesh, but we need to shake ourselves and say, that's not who I really am. That's not who I really am. I'm allowing this situation and circumstance to make me act like who I really am not. I need to take a stand because of the word, because of the love, because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of me each and every day. And this one, 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God who always leads me to triumph. Thanks be to God who always leads me to triumph. Jesus ain't going to lead you in no place where you get defeated. Bible says, thanks be to him who always leads me to triumph. But do you believe that? That every situation and circumstance that comes up in your life, that I'm the victor. No matter what it looks like. That's why we have to stop with all this recession talk and all that other stuff, because it ain't got nothing to do with the kingdom. Why? Because Christ ain't going to lead you in a place of defeat. Yeah, there might be some stuff we all got to get in order, myself included, but guess what? He always leads us to triumph. Always. There's never a day that Jesus is going to lead you and you ain't going to triumph. On them days when you ain't winning, you better see who's in front. Maybe you done stepped ahead of him. Or maybe you done stepped aside of him. Or maybe you're too far away from him. But my Bible says, right now, Saturday night, right now, thanks be to God who always, always leads me to triumph. And then Romans 8:37 says, yet in all things. What I like about the Bible? Always, all things. There's nothing left out. There is nothing left out. There is no situation. There is no circumstance. There is nothing that anyone that you're going through or anything that you're going to face tonight when you walk out this door, tomorrow when you wake up, next week, next year, next month, I don't care when it is. It says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors, more than a conqueror through him. See, we got to get the connection with Christ. It's in him. God can't work outside of Jesus because he'll be working outside of himself. Jesus said everything proceeds from the Father. I came from the Father. The Spirit came from the Father. You came from the Father. God can't work outside of himself. But that's what he said. All things through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor the things present nor the things to come nor heights nor death nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There ain't nothing that can separate you from that love, that can separate you from that power force that is connected to God, that in biblical cord of the Holy Spirit that draws you each and every day. There is nothing that can separate you except for yourself. Except for yourself. Okay, and I thank God for the word because I'm going to show you right here in 2 Timothy. All right? 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, it says, but in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influence, will then himself be a vessel of honor. See, you're the one that can separate yourself from God and contaminate your walk with Christ. That's what he just said. Remember I was saying the preeminence, what is influencing your life or who is influencing your life? See, you got a responsibility to clean yourself. It ain't the pastor's responsibility. My job ain't to clean you up. My job is to preach the word. Your job is to hear and let it clean you up. See, we catch the fish. We don't clean the fish. He cleaned the fish. All right? We're catchers. We ain't cleaners. We ain't stuffers. We ain't fryers. We ain't bakers of the fish. Catch. All right? He will do the rest with you once you understand the application of the word, and that's what he is saying, that contact separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influence. Okay? You ain't going to get AIDS unless you come in contact with it. All right? There's a lot of things in this world you're not going to get unless you come in contact with it. And that's when everybody knows you got in contact with something that's contaminating your life. When people hear stuff coming out of your mouth, because the Bible says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. When something comes out that is ungodly, we know that you've been around contaminating influences. When you're talking about your pastor, the church, and why they don't do this, why the praise team don't do this, why the contaminating influences. You see how you could separate yourself? You see how you could take your shield and your sword and become a victim instead of being a victor and standing there? I don't care. Because, see, you can dispel the gospel because you can tell them straight to their face, I don't want to hear it. You got a problem? You go take it to death. See, because that kills all that stuff. That kills all that stuff. And the most people that are running their mouth, don't like the church, don't like this, I don't like how they do it, I don't like, because they're not walking in victory. They haven't found their place in the victory. When Mike, what's your buddy's name, Mike Petza, when he was talking about Jesus saying, you be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Find that perfect place. See, you all need to go. That's why I always take notes. Because you can go back and get something. All right? But see, if you don't take nothing, you can't get nothing. Because he said, find that perfect place, which is the victory spot in Christ, and operate everything out of your life out of that. But Jesus has to be preeminence in your life. He has to be first place in your life and everything that is going on in your life. The way you think, the way you act, your money, and everything else. Jesus has to be first place or there is no victory. There is nothing but absolute defeat. And it might not happen next week. It might not happen next month. But it probably will happen next year. That you are going to be defeated. You are going to be defeated. And that's not what Jesus Christ died on the cross for. And that's what Paul was letting this church know. Christ did not go to the cross for you to be defeated. Stop listening to all that philosophy. Stop listening to all that legalism. Stop listening to all that stuff that detracts your mind away from that cross, the power of the blood, and everything else that's connected with it. We are the victors, church. We are the victors. We are the victors. Small but powerful. We are the victors. And that's the way you have to see yourself on an everyday basis, that I am a victor, that I'm going to win. And like Kiana was saying, there might be some stuff in your life that you have to develop. The reason why you ain't winning, because you ain't developing your love walk. Number one, you got to remember, God is love. I don't care what you do. If you don't develop your love walk, ain't nothing going to happen in your life. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how much you can preach. I don't care. Love, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. All that stuff about love, sounding brass. I am nothing if you don't develop that love walk for each other. Because Jesus said that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. Not by the way you talk to one another, but by the way you love one another. Even when it's hard to love one another. And it is hard to love one another. That's why you gotta put down that phony mask. Because we have perfected phoniness. Because you're going to smile at somebody when you know you got something in your heart that you need to talk about. You ain't got to put them on blast. Say, can me and you have a talk? You said something to me last week, and it offended me. That's the bait of Satan. Offense is the bait of Satan. If you didn't know it, you know it now. Okay? Sometimes people ain't even looking at you. Why is she looking at me like that? She ain't even sweating you. Right? Why are they looking at me like that? Why are you so important that people got to be looking at you? And all the things in this world, they got to be looking at you. Why are they talking about me? Why are they laughing about me? They ain't even thinking about you. But that's the bait of Satan. I'm telling you. That's the bait of Satan. And it works every time. That's why he keeps using it. He keeps using the same old thing all the time. And we have to understand that I am a victor. I'm not a victim. Yes, I'm going to go through situations. Yes, I'm going to go through circumstances. But guess what? I got the victory, man. Why? Because this Bible tells me so. This Bible tells me that I win. In every situation, in every circumstance, I win. That's why he says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe. Whomsoever shall believe, whomsoever shall believe, whomsoever shall believe, whomsoever shall believe. What do you believe? Care how good we preach. I don't care how good we can teach. What do you believe? What do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about his cross? And what do you believe about you? What do you believe? Because that's what it's all about. If you believe that you're a victor, that you're going to do it. And the last scripture I just want to use is Acts 4 and 13. Because it's not always the preachers. It's not always the pastors. It's not always the guys that are up front. Because, see, that's what the Pharisees thought. Okay? That's what they thought for a minute. But, see, most of the stuff that put strength in my backbone was the times that I was alone with Jesus. And that's what this is talking about. Okay? It said, now when they saw their boldness, unfettered eloquence of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Not only did they marvel, but they recognized where the boldness came from. They recognize where everything else came from. And if you want to walk in victory, everybody's going to know it, because they're going to know that you've been with Jesus. Somehow, some kind of way, you've been with Jesus. And I keep telling people, I could see why you're struggling. We have a unity in the Spirit, 5 chapters reading, and I could see where you're lacking, because I know you're not picking up your Bible, because you're frustrated, you're murmurers, you're complainers, don't nothing work, you don't like this, you don't like that, because you don't like this, and you don't like him, because it says that you are submitted to him first. The living word, this is the written word. See, God gave Christ as our example. The word is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit to guide us. And you're trying to do it and break it down. It's just like trying to separate the Godhead. You can't do it. You can't walk in victory without all three of them abiding in your life, each and every day of your life. This is an abiding thing. That's why it says in him. I am him and him in me. Church, it's time to wake up, man, for real. I mean for real. I ain't trying to beat nobody up, but the word is the word. I don't apologize for what God gives me to preach, okay? Never did and never will, all right? But it's about the victory, man, that you got over your life. And God's going to hold you accountable. Don't think he ain't, because he's going to say, Donald preached to you that Saturday night. What's today, June 12th? June 12th, 2010. You heard about being a victory and stop all the sniveling and the whining and everything else, because people in the army, you ain't crying when people are bombing you, okay? Ain't time to cry then. It's run and find cover, all right? And then once they stop bombing, okay, that's the way you want to do it? Here you go, all right? See, sometimes that's what you got to do with the enemy. Yeah, go ahead, let him hit me with your best shot. If you're still standing, say, okay, you did what you had to do. Now it's my turn. Okay? Now it's my turn. And that's what you got to get in your spirit. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to win. Why? Because he said it's finished. It's all over. I nailed it to the cross. Everything that was coming against you, I took it and nailed it up. It's finished. He gave us a commander and a leader to lead us through this. In that song we was talking about, see, the thing of it is, we don't get the glimpse of the cross, and we don't see you already got eternal life. You waiting for him to come back to walk into this eternal life, and Jesus saying, you already got eternal life. Because of what I did, you already got it. And if you start thinking like that, like the one was preaching for the last few, renewing of your mind, you start seeing, I already am walking into eternity. Because God is standing on the back end watching you going, come on, boy, come on, girl, come on. Step up into your place. Step up into that victory. And then you're going to have a smile on your face every day. You don't be lumpy and grumpy. You know, Christians talk about we going to heaven. The world is going to hell and they partying and smiling. We talk about we going to dance the street of glory. We look like we ate a skunk. All right? For real. I'm a Christian. You know? We get that look. And we talk about we're going to dance the streets of glory. Not like that, you ain't. He's going to kick you out. He don't want to look at you like that. But we have the victory, church. And that's what it's all about. We got the victory. Let us stand. Let us stand tonight. Because we have the victory because of our new life. Remember, it's about the new life. It has nothing to do with the old life. And I know tonight, God is calling people to lay it down. God is calling people to lay it down. There's still some contamination. There's still some influences that are in your life that is never going to change until you look that enemy right in the face and say, I am not that. And I'm not going to do that no more. You are not going to take me there no more. You're not going to do that with my life no more, because I know who I am, because of the word of God, because of the cross of Christ. I know who I am, and I'm not going to allow you to take me to that places anymore. Because God, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, I knew it before I even got up here, because I was going to do something before, but I said, no, Lord, I'm going to wait. That there's people in this house right now who've been coming to this church for a very long time, but your life is still tainted. There's still influences in your life that are keeping you bound. that are hindering you, that are keeping you from walking in the fullness of God. It ain't got nothing to do with this church. It got everything to do with you. And it's time for you to look in the mirror of your life and say, it's me. Just like Jonah had to say, it's me. Throw me over. This is the reason why this great storm is in your life. That's why the storm is there. That's why the storm is there. Because you don't want to surrender. God is saying, surrender it tonight. If you want to walk in victory, then you have to surrender it. No man, no woman can surrender it for you. Because no man or woman could see your heart. But I see your heart. The same way he said in Samuel, I don't see as man sees. Because man looks on the outward appearance. But I am x-raying your heart tonight. I am x-raying your heart tonight. And it's all about victory. It's all about victory. This ain't about condemning nobody. This ain't about none of that. This is about making you to see who you really are in Christ for yourself. So that way you're not going to look for one of the pastors to always lay hands on you. You ain't looking for the next prophet to come in here to prophesy in your life. Because I know the true prophet that came from heaven. The living word that lives inside of me. I know that prophet who speaks to every situation and every circumstance in my life. It tells me that I am a winner. And he is faithful to do exactly what he said he would do. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. Listen. It's time to give it up, man. It's time to give it up, sir. It's time to give it up, ma'am. It's time to give it up. Because you ain't going to go nowhere. You ain't going to go nowhere stuck in that place where you are with all that mess inside of you. It's time to let God do what he really wants to do in your life, not what you want to do in your life. And I always tell you, it's not how much you have of him, but it's how much he has of you. So tonight, there's no way in the world that you don't hear God's voice. And I can't force you to do nothing. I don't want to force you to do nothing because God would never force you to do nothing. He's too much of a gentleman to violate your free will to choose what he wants to do in your life. But if you know that the Spirit of God is talking to your heart and you say, I got to get it right with God. I got to get it right with God. I just got to get it right with God because I got to walk in this victory. I got to get the new life. I'm tired of living this life. See, because deception will keep you in the same place. The Bible said there's a way of a man to think that it's right, but the end is destruction. You don't need to be destroyed. Jesus already done took the destruction. He done took everything. So come forth. Come forth and allow God to minister to your heart tonight. Come forth. I know you're out there. And like I said, this isn't about shaming nobody. It's about getting right. Knowing that I'm in a place where God is going to take care of me. God is going to build me up. God's going to strengthen me through the people of God, through the love of God, through the pastors, through the love and fellowship of the saints, where I can expose myself and not be condemned. Just like the Good Samaritan, he didn't condemn him. He poured oil on him. He brought him back to the place. And he said, listen, come on, come on, come on. Don't be ashamed. Come on. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. This ain't about shaming nobody. This ain't about shame. The only shame is that you won't stand up and allow yourself to be exposed. That's the only shame. Because listen, God is long-suffering. But when something like this goes forth, like I said, we will know that you came in contact with something because it's going to show all over your body. We're going to know that you came in contact with something other than God because it's going to show up in your life. Like I said, I'm not the sin police and I don't beat people up, but I love you enough to speak the truth into your life. And without you surrendering all to Christ and his cross, you're never going to have the victory. Never had the victory. Tonight is the night for all those who want a victory. Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night that you say, I will no longer be anything less than what Jesus Christ died for me to be. Tonight is the night. Is there someone else? Come on, don't let pride get in the way. Don't let people get in the way. Don't let nothing get in your way. You know, and don't think, well, I don't have them big sins. It's the little foxes that are killing you, not the big stuff. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, man. I know you're out there. Come on. I can feel it. And I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm not going to belabor the point. I really ain't. I'm not going to belabor the point. But I got enough patience and enough love for you. And so does he. If I got this much love, think how much love that he has for you. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing you have did, nothing you said is never going to stop. Nothing. So just let us pray. Father, we just thank you, oh God. We thank you tonight, dear God, for your word. We thank you, oh Lord, that through your cross and through your son Jesus, dear God, that we are victors, oh God. We are not victims. We are powerful people, dear God, that you have created, oh God, to emulate you in this earth, oh God. Father, I pray tonight that everybody will become an imitator of Christ, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, that anything that's in the way that is hindering, even for those who wanted to come and didn't come, oh God, because your grace is sufficient for every one of our needs, oh God. We thank you, dear God, tonight for who you are and what you are. We thank you for this church, oh God. Thank you for Pastor Vaughn, oh God, and Wendy. Thank you for them. Thank you for their sacrifice, their years of sowing and toiling. We are partakers, dear God, of what they have done. Thank you for the leadership, my brothers, dear God, each and every one of them and their wives, oh God. Thank you for everything that you have placed in this house. Sometimes we forget to say thank you, God, for just the simple things that you have done. When we could have been cut off, God, when things couldn't have worked out. But God, your great love that you have for us, oh God, it's so tremendous, oh God. We just thank you tonight, Lord. We give you praise tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor, dear God. So, Father, we ask that you would unite us as one tonight, as you and the Son and the Spirit is one, oh God. That we be of one mind, that we be of one heart, oh God. That we be of one voice, oh God. That we walk in unison in all that we do, oh God. Father, bring correction into the areas that are out of line, oh God. We pray that you would send your anointing fire to purify anything that is not of you, knowing that you are a consuming fire, oh God, and that you consume everything until it looks like you, oh God. Lord, we just love you tonight more than we have ever loved you before, dear Jesus. We just thank you for this night and for this opportunity, oh God. And I just pray, oh God, that they will respond to your voice, oh God. Pray, oh God, that they would draw closer to you, oh God, through your word, dear God, through the classes, the discovery classes, oh God, that they would draw closer to you, oh God. Father, that nothing will get in the way anymore, dear God. Every time the doors is open, that the hunger will be for them to be in your presence, to be in your place, oh God. He said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, oh God. So we're asking for an infilling tonight, oh Lord, that you would burn a hunger in us that we never had before, oh God. That we'd stop making excuses, oh God, for being all that you need us to be, oh God. That we'll stop wearying the leadership, oh God, only because we don't understand at times, oh God. Lord, just let your grace, which is sufficient for all of our needs, oh God, the empowerment, the power, oh God, to be evidence in the life of your people, oh Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise, oh God. Let us be light, let us be salt, oh God, to this world, oh Father. But Lord, you said judgment starts on the house of the Lord first, oh God. So judge our lives, dear God, that you may be blameless when you judge, oh God, us. But Lord, we love you because you're faithful, dear God. We love you because you love us, but also because you correct us, oh God. So, Father, we just ask tonight, dear God, that you would just continue to move in us, dear God, because this is the confidence that we have, oh God, that if we ask anything according to your will, oh Father, that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, oh God, we know that we have the petitions that we have prayed. So we just thank you tonight. And we just rejoice in you tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.